Good morning, church. Welcome on this beautiful sunny Sunday. There's actually like a sun outside and there's like glowing and rays and wonderful. Welcome as we celebrate this second Sunday of Easter. It's good to have friends and guests with us today as well as we celebrate what the Lord has done for us. A few announcements, just a reminder, the elders continue to make masks optional for singing and all parts of worship as well. We still encourage those of you that love to sing to space out throughout the sanctuary to the best of your ability. And just remember, the pandemic remains dynamic and our response to this pandemic will also remain dynamic. But we still want to encourage those of you who feel most comfortable with masks on to continue wearing them. We want everybody to feel comfortable in our sanctuary. Please remember, cares and prayers will be Tuesday from 1 to 3 in Fellowship Hall. We look forward to that opportunity. And this Sunday, today, is a youth Sunday. So kids can bring their toys to church. That will be part of our children's chat. If you don't have a toy with you, that's okay. We'll have somebody from some people from the congregation help you out. And then after worship, we're going to have an opportunity for a game that the kids can play after church that they can pick out, and we'll have a little snack for them and an opportunity for our kids just to have some fellowship time and some fun after church. And then next Sunday, don't forget, we have great plans as well. We will have Justin Robach, the president of the Board of World Mission, here in worship. He'll be giving our message. And then after worship from 1 to 3 p.m., we will be given a presentation on the work of the board to the entire county in our fellowship hall. And that will be led by Justin and Bishop Chris Giesler. So you'll want an opportunity to see that. And light refreshments will be available as well. And we also need volunteers for Sweep the Streets coming up Memorial Day weekend. And then please don't forget, our 250th celebration of Shenrun Village is coming up on Tuesday, May 3rd. So you're going to want to take some time to see some of the activities at the village that day. That's all I have for announcements. Let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword for this week comes from John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Let us please, amen. Let us please rise as we join together to sing Christ is Alive, 362. Thank you. God's word from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading today comes from Psalm 118, verses 14 through 29. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Our gospel reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood with them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Now stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe."
for that passionate reading of John, as we truly remember the personal connection to this gospel passage and to this Easter season as well, as we celebrate this spirit of resurrection hope. In our prayers this week, we continue to offer prayers for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. We'll get an update from the Board of World Mission next week about all the work that Moravians are doing for Ukrainians across the world as they seek refugee status throughout Europe. In our prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope, we offer prayers for Melvin Davis after he passed away from a heart condition this last week. He was a classmate and friend of Steve Pasquinelli. And we also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of John Kinsey after his passing last Saturday. A celebration of life service was held yesterday. His wife, Connie, many of you may know, is a member of Fry's Valley, and she's a longtime member of OMMC. So we pray with the Kinsey family as well. For those who we offer prayers of healing this week and prayers of recovery, we think especially of Amy Pasquinelli, Corey Gorby, Melanie Hahn, Janice McClintock, Corey Beitzel, Dave Poole, Michelle Stevens, Michael, Brenda Greenwood, Gail Slater, who got a transplant as of last night, Claire Gorby, Ryan Castor, Linda Bennington, all those who are afflicted with COVID-19, we continue to give thanks for all of our first responders, our doctors, our nurses, who vigilantly continue to fight that battle with us and for us. So we continue to pray for the health, safety, and peace of our world. And we also offer prayers for Tammy Bennett and Jim Farrell. And then today we want to offer birthday celebrations to somebody in the back row, one of our new members visiting us way in the back right there, Mr. Schaefer, who has a birthday on the 22nd. And then I know somebody else who has a birthday today, Mr. Menapace, as well. So we celebrate with Nick. And your birthday present is I'm not going to sing for you today. How about that? But we rejoice with you and celebrate with all those wonderful things that we get to celebrate this spring and give thanks for the sunshine. That is God-given. We will rejoice for all that God gives us. Let us take some time in silence and invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you, and I just want to say thank you for the people who are gathered in this room to celebrate the gift of resurrection, hope, and love that you provide each and every one of us. Help each of us to experience that faith, that love, that mercy, and grace. And we give thanks that some people are here for the first time, some people are here for the second or third time, some people have been long-time and lifetime members of this church. But all of us come for the same reason, to celebrate the gift of redeeming love that you offer each and every one of us. So gracious God, be with all those who are struggling. Be especially with those who are grieving. We think especially of those for this Easter season that was so personal and profound, the reminder that Christ did not just go to the cross for himself, but for each of us, for the people we love. We put our faith in that. And gracious God, we ask for your healing presence in many different lives right now. So many people going through affliction and sickness. So many people helping and assisting those going through difficult times. Be with them. Fill their cups in the difficult moments and help them to realize no one who walks this earth walks alone. So may we be guided by your presence, your love, and your mercy and grace in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn to our offering, reminding you our offering plate will not be going up and down the pews, but there is a plate in the back for anybody who'd like to make an in-person donation. We encourage you to continue to give on sdmchurch.org as well, and we look for opportunities to give and serve throughout our community. We have a lot of organizations in our communities that need our support, so look for ways that we can extend our church beyond these walls. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to sing in the offertory prayer. pray together. Loving Savior, help us to share the good news of your victory over death with compassion in our hearts for all whom we encounter. Amen. You may be seated. Before I invite our kids to come forward for our children's chat on Youth Sundays, we invite our kids to bring a toy or object with them. Do any kids need a toy or object at this time? Raise your hand if you do. I know we got a lot of new people here. Oh, Jim, you need a toy? Okay. All right, if you got one, then come on up, come forward. You're welcome to come forward for this children's chat. If you need anything, we're happy to help you. So let's see what you all got. Bring all your toys, you can put them right here. We'll sit in like a U, how about that? Yeah, we can go like a U right at the pulpit there. We'll give you all some space. Ooh, nice. I like these. Make yourself comfy, have a seat. All right, so we got a lot of good objects today. So we're gonna talk about today is a word that's very important. And word that we struggle with. It's doubt. Can anybody tell me what doubt means? Rylan, what does doubt mean? Sure. Yeah, so doubt is sometimes we struggle to believe with something. We question things. We're not sure what to do or how to respond. And for example, we'll start our story with actually one of my favorite baseball players, Christian Yelich. We'll start with him today. When Christian Yelich was a little boy, he signed up to play Little League Baseball. Has anybody here signed up to play Little League Baseball, softball? How about any soccer people in there? Yeah, you try a sport for the first time. And when Christian was little, he tried baseball for the first time. And this is a true story. When he was 8 years old, he tried baseball. And guess what? He didn't like it. He couldn't stand it. Because guess what? He kept getting hit by pitches from pitchers. And he got so frustrated with it that he was ready to quit. So you know what his mom did? She did what a good mother does. She watched over her beautiful child, her firstborn child, and she gave him a little help. And she gave him a little motivation. And she said, for every hit you get, I'll give you $5. Christian changed his mind about baseball very quickly. And he became a very rich man and signed a $150 million contract for the Brewers later. We'll get to that. I can go 45 minutes on Christian Yelich, but I'm going to save you that. But I hope he gave some of those $5 bills back to his mother one day. So doubt sometimes can be a good thing, and sometimes it can be a bad thing. So let's talk about times when doubt can be a good thing. Can I take your little Care Bear? I love the little Care Bear. So if these two, let's say, I'm not sure what, is this a futuristic teddy bear? Is that what we're going with?
It's a bear, she's wearing a VR set.
With a VR set, okay, we'll go with that. So let's say there was an all-bear football league around us. And Purple Bear was the offensive guard, and our poor little Care Bear was the defensive tackle. How should Care Bear feel about the upcoming snap? A little scared, right? Do you think a little doubt would be good for Care Bear? Be a little scared, be a little worried? Yeah, that's a good instance of when Care Bear should have a little doubt. Because guess what? If Care Bear tries to muscle with this VR bear, what's going to happen? Care Bear is going to get knocked down. Care Bear is going to get beat up. So what is Care Bear going to have to use if it can't use muscle or strength? Brain, speed, athleticism, absolutely. Use anything that can get around. It's got to use its feet. It's got to be willing to run the important steps. And sometimes, the other thing I want to talk about is at school. Sometimes we get, who has a lot of friends at school? Who enjoys having a good friend at school? Some of you may be learning about friends. Some of you may be developing friendships. And one of the things that's hard to learn is sometimes we're not always the best at making friends. And sometimes we get scared and we get nervous about making friends. But guess what? Sometimes a little doubt can be healthy, but sometimes we have to make sure doubt doesn't overtake us. So let's say, for example, I need a name for this young lady. What's her name?
Charlie.
Charlie? Charlie could be short for a lot of things. It could be short for Charlotte. There we go. What about this young lady? We need a name for her. Sky?
Skylar.
So we got Charlie and Skylar. And Charlie's been having trouble making friends, and she's afraid to ask Skylar to be her friend. And she's got so much doubt about it in her heart. And she's afraid to do it. Do you think Charlie should be afraid to ask Skylar to be a friend?
No.
Why is that?
She'll probably say yes,
and what's the worst thing that happens? She might say no, but guess what? You're still in the same situation. You wouldn't be friends. So if she has the courage to say yes, to really ask her to be her friend, that will help her. And that's why we shouldn't let doubt overcome us too much. Well, that's what I want you guys to learn today is important, that sometimes there's a good, healthy amount of doubt. Sometimes there's a bad amount of doubt where we get too much anxiety. And we never want our doubts to stop us from making friends, from believing in ourselves like Christian Yelich did, and also reminding us that in situations where we're overcome from a child through birth, that we can use our brain, we can use our speed, we can use so many things to help us get through this life. Where's Jesus? Yeah, Jaden's got me, and all of them lead us to this important relationship with this guy. And who's this guy?
Jesus,
and Jesus will guide us exactly where we need to, especially on days that we have doubts. You guys can trust in that. So if it's okay with you guys, why don't we all get in a circle and we all hold hands and pray, if that's okay with y'all. So I want you to grab the hand of a friend. We'll do a big circle around the pulpit or right here. Peyton, you want to get in here? Jaden, you want to come up here? You got my hand too, Emmy? Emmy? All right, let's go in this way. How about Jaden, you want to come in? We'll take Layla's hand. Or actually, Maddie, will you take James's hand? And then we'll get the rest of our circle. Perfect, you're doing great. All right, let's get in there. Perfect. Let's pray, y'all. Gracious God, we come before you and we just ask you to uplift and bless these kids and remind them that they are smart, intelligent, athletic, and they can use all the wonderful gifts they have in their lives. And that they should never doubt how awesome they are and that they can make friends with new people in new places. And that all of us can learn and develop a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you all very much. Go ahead and grab your toy and head back.
I just now realized how long it's been since we did that.
It is. It's been a while since we've been up here, but that's good. Absolutely. Good job, y'all. Let's pray. God, open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the message that you have to share with us today, and just help us to listen to the words of Jesus. May they inspire us and remind us why we are called to be disciples of Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. So for our message today, we kind of alluded to it in our children's chat. We're talking about doubt and our struggles. And the first thing I want to talk about is kind of how people can be known for one thing or the other. So we're going to talk about some famous people who've gone through that struggle where they're known for one certain thing. So let's start. We'll start with my history buffs. If I said the name President Richard Nixon, what is the first word that would come to mind?
Tricky Dick.
Tricky Dick, yeah. Yep, impeached, struggled, went through a lot of different times. The only president to be impeached, Watergate, absolutely. Those are things that come up when we think of Richard Nixon. All right, we're going to go even farther back in history. What if I said the name Benedict Arnold, the American Revolutionary General? What would you say?
Traitor.
Traitor, yeah, traitor. He was the guy that betrayed his country and turned around on him. This is going to be a harder one. I'm looking for my baseball fan in the back, Rick Swaldo and Ross. If I said the name Billy Buckner, what would you say?
Missed ground ball.
Missed ground ball. Yeah, he's the guy in Game 6 of the World Series. Went through his legs, and the Red Sox curse continued. Those are people who are known for one hard and difficult thing in their life. These are people who are known for their worst moments. And the problem is that it's not a good idea to paint people with such a broad brush. In fact, we all know Tricky Dick Richard Nixon as the person famous for Watergate and the only president to be impeached. But did you know that the Nixon administration was instrumental in forming the Environmental Protection Agency? And they actually created a lot of jobs during their government to set up jobs for minority candidates and other people. And Benedict Arnold, we always remember him for his mistake of being a traitor. But did you know his decision as a general at the Battle of Saratoga? He actually overruled a superior officer at the risk of being court-martialed and threat of being imprisoned. And he changed the military strategy at Saratoga on the field, and that allowed the revolutionary troops to be victorious and to win a pivotal battle of the American Revolution. And in fact, that had much more of an impact on the war than Arnold's actual decision to betray himself to the British. And Billy Buckner, that guy we talked about that made that Air in the World Series, he had a decorated career in Major League Baseball for over 20 years. And he had amassed over 2,700 hits and was a .290 career hitter, almost on the cusp of the Hall of Fame. So much good that these people I just talked about accomplished in their lives is overshadowed by one huge mistake that they made. And if there's anyone who knows how Richard Nixon, Benedict Arnold, or Billy Buckner feels, if there's anyone who knows how they feel, it is Doubting Thomas. Because history will always paint Thomas with the broadest of brushes. In fact, his one-word legacy could even fit on his tombstone. Doubt. Doubt is such a dirty word to utter in a sanctuary. But if we are grading the depths of the sins of the disciples, is Thomas really at the top of the list? Because it was Judas who betrayed Jesus, it was Peter who flat out denied Jesus, and all the rest were cowardly. They hid from the world after being labeled guilty, afraid of being labeled guilty by association with Jesus of Nazareth. All Thomas did was doubt Jesus and then believe. Doubt doesn't sound nearly as bad when it's put into the context of this Holy Week. It is important for us to remember that doubt is not the end of faith, but it often can be the starting place for spiritual growth. And I want you to remember that. That's incredibly important because we can gain so much by asking questions on our faith journey. In fact, let me give you an example. A young couple had twins, age 8, a boy and a girl. The little girl kept hounding her parents after church with questions. Is God real? Are God and Jesus the same person? How could Jesus predict what would happen to him in the future? And her brother just kind of sat there quietly during church playing with his Tonka truck and never engaged in worship. So finally, the parents got sick of the questions, or more honestly, they got sick of not knowing the answer to the questions and then struggling with the questions themselves and not being sure what they were. So they set a meeting with their pastor. And they said, "Pastor, how do we make our daughter with all these questions more like our son? She is always peppering us with questions and making us question things we never questioned before. Why can't she stop doubting and just believe?" And the pastor, who is a parent himself, smiled and said, "I understand how difficult it can be to wrestle with questions you do not have a perfect answer for. However, I think you are worried about the wrong child, because a child that asks a lot of questions about God is showing that they take God seriously. It is not doubt that God fears from us. It is apathy. It's not caring. How can we help your son take more of an interest in his faith like your daughter who keeps asking questions?" And in fact, if you polled many ministers, Many of them have been kicked out of Sunday school at one point or another for how many questions they asked. And yes, I would be included in that. I almost made one Sunday school teacher quit with the amount of questions I had. Questions are good from kids. Questions are awesome. And that's the thing about God. God loves us so much that God allows space for us to even question his existence. Think about that. God loves us so much that God allows space for us to question his existence. And Jesus knows this. Jesus knows that believing in him when you have not met him or seen his miracles eye to eye and felt his presence, that's a difficult task. He said in John 20:29, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Each one of you that are here because of your relationship with Jesus Christ are blessed by these words. Because you haven't seen the miracles with your eyes, you haven't felt the nails with your hands, but still, you are here in faith. And the interesting thing about this passage, when we often read the passage, we often interject contempt or anger in Jesus' tone. We make him upset. But Scripture does not say anything about Jesus being upset. He shares these words plainly and as a statement of fact. Jesus is willing to walk with Thomas in the midst of his doubt. And you heard that in Jean Ann's voice, just how personal that connection would have been in that moment. And this is an important lesson as we share the gospel with people who have yet to fully embrace Jesus Christ. Doubt should never be viewed as a roadblock. It should be viewed as a window. Doubt should be a conversation starter about spirituality. And I encourage you in these coming weeks, if you encounter a friend or a loved one who's experiencing a crisis of faith, do not run away from them. I know many of you, we have a lot of people in the medical field. We have a lot of teachers dealing with kids in certain points of their lives. Don't run away from them in those moments. Engage them in a conversation. Listen to their story compassionately and without judgment. And most importantly for yourself, take the pressure off yourself to have perfect answers. Because none of us have the perfect answers. Offer them simply a ministry of presence. Never doubt the value of showing up for people, listening to them, caring for them. And Moravians, we personally do not believe in a prescriptive experience with God. In other words, if your spouse or loved one is diagnosed with cancer, you might begin struggling with the question, why do bad things happen to good people? I think any of us would wrestle with that question. But as Moravians, when we have that question, we don't say, read Romans 5 for a week about suffering produces endurance, pray 30 days, and all your doubts will be healed and all your questions answered. We know that faith does not operate that way. We experience a relational God. We experience a God who shows up. We experience the ministry of presence from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's a challenge with that, because we get a Lord and Savior who provides few easy answers to tough questions. I wish there was an appendix to the Bible that I could give you that had all the tough questions with the answers with them, but we don't have it. What we do have is a presence from God that is profound and transformative. And God is with you during life's toughest moments. You never walk alone on this earth, because you will always have God with you. No matter how difficult the path is, no matter how long the journey is, God does not abandon us. And that's important, that ministry of presence. Because we come before our Lord and Savior today humbly, because we believe in a Savior that will not shame us for our doubts, who will not be unkind towards us if we have questions or concerns or worries. We believe in a Savior who, just like he did with Thomas, will walk with us in the midst of our doubts, in the midst of our pains, in the midst of our sins. And that is why, as a community of believers, we accept Christ's invitation to the table today. Not because we are perfect, but because Christ will never run from us. Doubts and all, sins and all, mistakes and all, Christ will keep showing up for us. So let us show up today at the table that he invites each and every one of us to. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so blessed, and we may not even realize it, by the doubts we have, by the questions we have. And we give special thanks for the kids among us who ask so many of those questions and articulate many of them. And help us to understand that we can always grow from those questions. Because you, God, teach us to ask questions. You teach us to learn. You teach us to grow. So help us to be disciples who are committed to never stop learning and to never stop growing in our faith. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we prepare our hearts for communion and sing "Christians, Dismiss Your Fears." Please rise. We prepare our hearts and our minds for Holy Communion. I want to remind you once again, the Moravian Church offers an open communion table. All who welcome Christ Jesus in their heart are welcome at our child. Children, all people are welcome. So we want to extend this invitation also to you, those of you who are watching us on our live stream as well. We know that that an invitation to the table exists virtually as well. So we celebrate that Christ's invitation is for us and for all people. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
Let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Thank you for the invitation to the table. We thank you for being invited to be a part of our family. Please bless us and bless this time together. But gracious God, we come to you with repentant hearts. We realize there are things we have done and things we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. But still, you blot out all our transgressions immediately and make us anew, and we get to live with the forgiveness of sins. So let us pray together the wonderful prayer you taught each of us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection.
Bless our best, gracious Lord, and our God. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Thank you.
from this, all of you, do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant us peace. Amen.
This bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death.
Until he comes.
Let us extend the right wave of fellowship. Unto you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace, brothers and sisters, and I once again want to remind our youth to stick around in Fellowship Hall if they're able for a snack and an activity afterwards. Go in peace.